regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We're going to be talking with Kosei Ono from Virgin Islands Safe Gun Owners. You may have seen this story I wrote yesterday at Bearing Arms about the chains that are being yanked by the Virgin Islands legislature when it comes to this gun control bill that's been kind of floating out there for almost 6 months now. And every time there's a hearing scheduled and gun owners make plans to attend, the meeting is either canceled at the very last minute, like 5 minutes notice, or gun owners just aren't given the opportunity to speak. It is one of the many problems that gun owners are facing in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Of course, the DOJ has already filed a lawsuit against some of the existing gun control laws. And unfortunately, there are legislators there in the Virgin Islands who want to make it even more difficult to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. Well, Kosei Ono with Virgin Islands Safe Gun Owners is one of those fighting back against these infringements. Very pleased to get to spend some time with us on today's Bearing Arms Cam and Company. Take a look and a listen. Kosei, thanks very much for coming on the program. It's good to see you again.
Morty, thank you very much for inviting us.
Absolutely. And unlike when you are invited to testify before the legislature, we're actually going to let you talk today. I got to tell you, I saw this press release that you sent out documenting 8 different occasions when you and other gun owners were supposed to be able to talk about this sweeping gun control bill. And I mean, it's outrageous, Kosei. I mean, you're talking about meetings being canceled 5 minutes ahead of time, an hour ahead of time. Sometimes when you all do show up, you're not allowed to speak. The meeting takes place, but you're just not allowed to give your voice. And this is happening, as you say, 8 different times since what, September of last year?
Yes, the very first occasion when I found out very on short order the night before this particular Homeland Security meeting was going to take place. We found out through my members that this bill was coming up very quickly, only like 7 days before that date in which they got an actual bill number for the public to track. What's going on, what's bills coming up. Our ability to see it is really dependent on this tracking bill, and only was like 7 days or very short period of time, even maybe less. And then, so I wrote my, letter very early in the morning to get it in time with to make it part of the record of opposition. So that's the very first occasion. And then, and obviously series of, similar issues occurred throughout the most disheartening one came, again, this last February 13th, Friday. And what made this a little more hard is that, one, it's in St. Croix. This is, again, as I spoke last time, there was a meeting, a Homeland Security meeting there was a Rules Committee meeting, the next level up, that took place in St. Croix because it got through the first segment, base. And then from there, it was introduced to the Rules Committee, and that was the one was in St. Croix. We had to travel, and that was 5 minutes before the meeting was canceled. And so the meeting took, so because of our outrage from the community, they actually took the bill that was in the Rules Committee and sent it down back to the Homeland Security, the Committee of Jurisdiction, as they call it.
Okay.
So we made, in a way, progress in the sense that you haven't discussed this, thoroughly enough. Mm-hmm. You don't have any oppositions or people's concerns on the record. So that's how it got back to the Homeland Security. And the sponsoring senator then brings up the bill multiple times after it was dropped down to the Homeland Security. And I get invited at the last minute, again, canceled. And this was, since it got down to the Homeland Security Committee, this was the third time in the series of invitations that we finally getting invitations, but they're grudgingly, I guess the way I see it, grudgingly doing it and still trying to figure out a way in which could be made difficult for us to not show up. And this one was in St. Croix. And what makes this very problematic, and I brought this to their attention early on, it was just before, there's a nice event in St. Croix called Ag Fair for the locals, an agricultural festival 2026. And it's a very fun event, local. It's very well appreciated. The farmers come out and showcase their products, and all sorts of vendors come out. Well, the good news, that's a fantastic event. Ben is for me. I have to move from St. Thomas to St. Croix, find a flight which was I couldn't find a flight. I had to beg and to get on a ferry and find a spot on the ferry. I couldn't find a hotel because all the hotels were taken because of the festivities. I had to ask for a corporate one of the members to put me up in his one of his corporate apartments. So these extraordinary efforts are being made because despite us notifying them that you put in another major change at the last minute with us having any chance to review it, and you're giving us eleven hours of business hours or a day and a half before I have to submit my testimony. You want us to review this whole sweeping change. Okay, fine. I'm still going to go. I'm completely unfair, but I'm going to go. And I go. And I was getting ready for my presentation, working with the media. I was about to go I went to the bathroom to put on my suit because I was traveling and it was a sweaty day. So I didn't want to ruin my suit. So I go in the bathroom. And then next thing I know, they're knocking on the door, even though they told me you're going to be up shortly. So you should get in your suit. Now that I go to the bathroom and try to put on my suit, they'll say they're pulling it. So these are, I think, very disappointing, but it's a pattern. And the exact reason why the U.S. DOJ has decided to sue the police department.
Yeah.
Is this exactly arbitrary, capricious, in a pattern and practice of trying to obstruct, the civil rights?
Right. Absolutely. And I want folks to understand, I mean, like, it's bad enough if you have to drive several hours to the state capitol and they keep yanking the bill. But as you say, you have to take flights. I mean, U.S. Virgin Islands is basically comprised of, three main islands, St. Croix, St. Thomas, St. John. And it sounds to me like you cannot testify virtually. Is that not an option? If you want to testify,
There's options. That is an option that is afforded. Okay. That there's a St. Thomas legislature building. There's a St. Croix legislature building. We find that it's harder to get our point across when it's through video.
Yeah.
And we think it's always more impactful and have the ability to interact with the senators in a closer up situation versus a limited, window in which you could communicate.
Right.
Pointing at one direction. So all those reasons, I prioritize to show up in person. I like to have all my members show up in person as much as possible because the impact is a little bit different.
Yes. And you're talking about buying plane tickets, right? Hundreds of dollars, round trip fare to get to these meetings. They're canceled at the last minute. It is abusive. Again, I don't know that this is something that the DOJ can look at specifically, but every Virgin Island gun owner, every Second Amendment advocate in the United States should be, upset at how you guys are being treated here by the legislature. But I want to talk about that amendment. What did this bill do originally, right? I mean, it had a ban on so-called assault weapons, large capacity magazines. There were more restrictions, I think, on the right to carry, mandatory training if you wanted to purchase a rifle or shotgun.
So let me give you a little bit of overview. So there's, a few bills that I think the one that is, we know that is officially submitted. And then there's something that came out the last minute that was given to me at the last minute. That one has not passed legislative legal review. So okay. We're not even sure if that's going to be the final one that they're going to
have. The new draft that came out.
It was a draft that was not approved by the legal counsel is okay. The way it was presented. And therefore, we're not even sure if that'll be the one that they're going to all discuss. But the one that I think that was most concerning that came out when the governor basically announced that after following the lawsuit from the DOJ, he basically says, okay, I have been working on this for 6 years and this bill proposal comes out. And unfortunately, they consulted the police department and the attorney general, but not the legal firearm owners who have been suffering their civil rights violation. We have very specific solutions, very specific needs that are being violated. So that's the reason why leading up to this, prior to this February 13th hearing, there was a attempt to have a town hall meeting. Oh, there was a town hall meeting. I wouldn't call it attempt. There was a town hall meeting. I call it an attempt because the earlier meeting that was hosted in a different island, in this case, St. Croix, they had two, one in St. Croix and one in St. Thomas. The one I attended was later in St. Thomas. But the very first one, they put out a public announcement, gave people about 4 hours, 5 hours to let people know the town hall was taking place. So these are they're trying to give the impression that they're trying to hear from public, but they're not authentic. right? They're not authentic. It's like they're trying to make it look like they did it, but in reality, you give you 5 hours, and then ours was the day after Thanksgiving long weekend on a Monday. So I had a lot, you know, when I said, hey, everybody, you need to show up, everybody I called, many of them called, were still traveling. So we think these dates are picked for a reason. Announcements for the time are picked for a reason, and only a last minute announcement. So these are gamesmanship. It's not that, talking to people familiar with it, it's not the first time they attempted these techniques. So we don't think it's a coincidence or a mistake. So in that context, the government house's bill was presented to the legislature. In that was a lot of problematic things that I think I highlighted in my press release that you hopefully were able to read. And two things that were most problematic. One was basically says you could have your concealed carry firearm anywhere in the Virgin Islands, so long as it's inside your house. That was, in effect, the typical reaction we see when some of these unconstitutional laws get struck down, like New York and Hawaii. They'll say, fine, I have to give it to everybody who's legal. Fine, then I make sure they can't take it anywhere.
Yeah.
And that reflexive response, that unconstitutional response, rather than say, sorry, you got me, I'm going to correct it. Let's elevate it to really try to get the legal firearms into the law-abiding citizens' hands. Let's make it fast. Let's make it quick. Let's make it painful. Let's make it affordable. None of those, you know, spirits were in the bill. It was only discussed with the police and attorney general. How can you solve our problems if you're not talking to us? We know what the problems are. And that's the reason why when finally I was able to, we had a town hall meeting and I had many, many people filled up the gallery of a cross section of the local Virgin Islanders. And we basically expressed every one of us. It's not just one person. It's not just me, you know, taxi driver, tow truck drivers, you know, business owners, entrepreneurs. You know, there's a great deal of people all expressing the same thing. So from there, I felt there was a misunderstanding. They're just not getting it in writing these bills. So I decided to, over the holidays, decide to write a new law replacing the existing Chapter 5, Title 23, Chapter 5, which is firearms regulations.
Okay.
I started with small, changing things that are, you know, meant from may issue to shall issue. But as I go section by section by section, many, many things were problematic. Many, many things. You know, there's an example of the overly expansive sensitive area. For instance, they had in the existing law, you could go 1,000 feet outside of the radius of the, say, a school zone. You know, sensitive place, I understand. However, when you go from 1,000 feet in the Virgin Islands, you're going to the public road walkway. So imagine a scenario, a mother who, for whatever reason, she finds, say, a gun in her son's bedroom. She decides to take it to the police station. She takes on the way to the police station, car breaks down right in front of school in the public road. And then police comes and finds a gun in her possession. She is an unauthorized possessor of a firearm. She is now under the potentially a felony conviction of minimum 10 years for simply having a firearm that is not registered, even though she is not a criminal. But it gets doubled because it was in a school zone 1,000 feet outside. So she could go to jail for 20 years because nowhere in the law talks about knowingly, mens rea, criminal intent. Very dangerous stuff. Very dangerous stuff. If you want to go after your political enemy, this law could put you away for life. You could say it's done legally. These are very dangerous things, I think, was written by the police. It's a government-centric, police-centric, and certainly not constituted. But there's many, many things. And that's the reason why my bill became totally a company, or our bill, because I consulted with a great deal of our members for lawyers. There was an issue with what happens in a estate, in a somebody passes away in a probate, and a lawyer has to take possession of a firearm. Well, does she go to jail for taking possession of it? You know, there was no carve-outs, safe havens. You go to the range and you start practicing under the tutelage of a fire instructor. Nothing is dealt with. And then there's no criminal intent language. It's all one-sided. And then other thing that they don't deal with, that I try to deal with, is so that we have a time frame in which has to be issued. The biggest challenge we face, why the DOJ is here, because they take months in some cases years to issue the license and do a home inspection. All those things need to be changed. Mm-hmm. And there are excuses for delays. So I said 30 days. If you don't issue it in 30 days, it's automatically issued. So we it creates accountability. We also, the $150 per gun registration scheme is a money. It's basically a money grab. Nothing to do with in terms of administrative costs. We my proposal is $25 per license. Since 29 states in the country, it's zero. In some other states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Utah, I see it's like $20, $23, $18. So $25 is not ridiculous. And I even had one of my members ask me, when you write the bill, can you please make sure there's a senior discount? Because I can't afford the fee. And I said, I want to make sure it could be afforded by all.
Right.
And when I said it's going to be $25, he said, okay, I can afford that. And I think that's the response we want. Something that the people could... It's written by the people for the people, and so, the government is not that.
So you've written this draft proposal to replace the bill that's out there. Have you been able to put your proposal in front of any lawmaker at this point?
Fortunately, the lawmakers have been willing to meet with me and my group members and express why we wrote it, why we think it's going to solve our problem, VSCO, Virgin House Safe Gun Owners. Why it's going to solve our issues, because it's we are the ones who started the complaint. And then if this is addressed, we're not asking for something that is absolutely, you know, all the way over here. We're trying to be using
Trying to turn the Virgin Islands into Wyoming, right? I mean, no. you're trying to work within the system that is in place, but to make it one that, again, is going to be respectful of the right to keep and bear arms, because the current law is not respectful. It treats the right as a privilege. It absolutely does.
So we think our bill solves our problem.
Okay.
Because every single thing from how do we get if we're denied, one of the things in the original law, if I was denied, I had 15 days, I think, somewhere in that range, to go to the Superior Court, a judge who was appointed by the governor. And I have to prove that fraud or misrepresentation took place in order for the override the police commissioner. These are extraordinary standards, and to try to reverse a decision that was a negative. So we instituted a firearms review board. We don't want to have to, everybody has to hire a lawyer. So the firearm review board will be comprised of some of the community members as well as federal firearms license owners. And they could have more proper perspective to approve certain licenses. And we feel that's a fair process before we have to expend extraordinary amount of money to prove that we are entitled. The burden is, you know, it's going to shift backwards to the government. They have to prove why we don't deserve it, not us having to prove why we're entitled to it.
Right. Okay. So you've been able to put this proposal in front of lawmakers. Have you heard when the next hearing theoretically might take place?
We don't know. Okay. We don't know. Only thing, okay. only communication we got was that the bill was pulled. Now, in addition to our bill, just to kind of, you know, harp on it a little bit, our bill will address many of the DOJ's problems, concerns, you know, pattern and practice. I try to put in things that address the pattern and practice. One of the things that was successful in the past, they used to have a civil administrator to administer the firearms licensing process. It used to issue it in 2 weeks based on those old timers who used to do it during those times. It's a civil right. Why not administer by a civil administrator? Take out some of the egos. We want the police officers to go out in the streets and patrol and arrest criminals, because the people who come in and register and give up their fingerprints and the social security number, we don't commit crime.
Right.
And therefore, this whole thing, they're making it a very laborious and costly process to people who don't commit crime in the first place. It's so misguided and wasted time so we want them to actually focus on things that actually make a difference. And then if it's a civil administrator, they'll take out some of the tendency, I think, of police officers having to be, you know, have to deal with criminals all the time. We're respectful and we appreciate their service. Is that it's just an instinct that they kind of, everybody they encounter, they're more suspicious, I guess. And it's unfortunate because there's no data to suggest we're a problem in the territory. All the firearms that get used in a crime are illegal, you know, somehow smuggled in. So we're not the problem. And that seems to be registered firearms with the ATF have a very similar track record. My understanding is, and there have only been three incidents in like a machine gun since 1934 that were even used and documented for a crime for, you know, that long a period of time. So registered firearms, we're willing to keep. However, it has to be quick, it has to be reasonable, it has to be affordable.
Well, listen, I hope that you are able to make some progress here. And, you know, again, what you're talking about, I know some folks who are listening are going to be like, well, why would that be acceptable? And again, I think you've got to go step by step. You've got to realize the political realities in the Virgin Islands. Hopefully the DOJ's lawsuit is going to undo some of this damage as well. Frankly, I don't think you should have to register your firearms. But again, I understand it is a process.
It's a reality.
I mean, that's just the case, right? So
we didn't want to go outside of the what was possible within the, you know, history here. So.
Right. I think New Jersey should be constitutional carry, but that's not going to happen either based on the political reality. So I do want to keep talking with you. Thank you so much for sending me the press releases so we can keep people informed about what's going on. Because again, the way gun owners are being treated right now in the Virgin Islands is, frankly, I think it's despicable. And you know, I don't have a lot of time to get into it, but the Virgin Islands response to the DOJ's lawsuit was ridiculous. They basically denied every allegation. Oh no, we don't require a particular safe. Oh no, we don't do home inspections. Oh no, we don't issue these licenses based on a particular need. And then they went off on this tangent about the Trump administration's immigration enforcement efforts. I mean, it was
unclean hands.
Yeah, it was just a bizarre response.
It was heartbreaking. I actually, when I saw that, it was from the Virgin Islands business owner's perspective. We don't want to, you know, the way I described it, it's when they first, you know, denied our civil rights is kind of like poking the bear with a Second Amendment task force. When they challenged and not admit to their, you know, bad performance to date, and then criticize this current administration, I think that's more than poking the bear. That's almost kicking the cubs.
Yeah.
And it's not the kind of thing that I think it's going to, you know, end well. We don't want them. We want all the federal support. There's, you know, $25 billion worth of federal funding that is coming this direction. There's many places the infrastructure is needed and for the benefit of the, but we don't want that to be jeopardized. And so for all those reasons, we don't think it's a prudent approach to kind of poke the bear or kick the bear or kick the cubs. These are all bad. It's simply, you know, hey, we screwed up. You know, we have a bill that solves all the problems, and we're, in which case, one, the money that'll be wasted on legal defense, it's unnecessary. We could just fix it. I have the solution. It's right in front of you. So we ask that they take that seriously. It'll solve the DOJ problem, not maybe everything, but a significant part of it, and certainly my personal lawsuit, as was all my members' concerns about. And cost-effectively, consistently being approved of commonly available firearms. And we're willing to wait a little bit, but not that long. Yeah. We're willing to pay money, but not that much. So,
Jose, again, I appreciate you coming on the program. Keep up the fight. Keep us informed. We'd love to have you back when there is any news to report. But again, you know, just on behalf of gun owners across the country, thank you, and thank the other members of the Virgin Islands Safe Gun Owners for standing up for your rights and for fighting for your rights.
Well, appreciate it. It's one thing, given that they decided to fight a lot more than we thought they would, we're probably going to need a little more support from the country. And I have a shirt up because it's one of the things we made to try to recruit new members, as well as the Virgin Islands VISCO 340.org. is our web page where everybody could follow updated news. We'll put up our press releases as well as our bill, so people could read what we think is the right law, as well as the development and or ability for those who are interested in contributing to the fight. It'll be greatly appreciated.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Jose, and look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
My thanks once again to Jose for joining us on the program, and we are going to be keeping up to date with what's going on in the Virgin Islands. Now, before we get to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report, we should talk about this for a second. And, you know, I just realized I left my modern rugged bag over in the house. I had taken some books from the office. And so I can't show you my modern rugged bag today. But you've seen it before, right? From city streets to mountain trails, your gear should go wherever life takes you, even if it's from your office to your house and back. That's why at Modern Rugged Leather, every bag handcrafted from premium, responsibly sourced leather. It's designed to look sharp, last long, and tell the story of its own. Each stitch, each buckle, each strap reflects timeless craftsmanship, and it's backed by a lifetime warranty, because quality shouldn't quit when the adventure begins. So whether it's the boardroom, the back roads, or a gravel driveway, Modern Rugged Leather helps you carry confidence every step of the way. Modern Rugged Leather. Modern style, timeless durability, backed for life. Life takes you places. Make sure your gear keeps up. Shop the entire collection and find yours today at modernrugged.com. Again, that's modernrugged.com. And I honestly can't say enough about my Modern Rugged bag. I love it. I'm taking it. I got to go on a journey this weekend, and I'm packing on my laptop and everything, and I know it's going to look sharp, and it's going to hold everything I need, keep it dry, keep it safe. All right, on to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. Let's start there with a disturbing story from Detroit, where a former police officer has been sentenced after pointing a gun at the mother of his children. And since we're talking about this case, you can imagine the sentence, not very severe. Justice Calvin got 2 years probation after pleading guilty to assault with a dangerous weapon. Yeah. 2 years probation. According to the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office, Calvin, who's 32, followed the 26-year-old victim to the parking lot of a nursing home in Detroit. This was back in January of 2025. She's driving there. He's following her in his car. She gets out. He gets out. Points at Calvin at that point was wearing his police uniform. He, according to the prosecutor's office, pulled the victim from her vehicle and assaulted her. He was originally charged with assault with a dangerous weapon, felony firearms, domestic violence. The firearm charge and the domestic violence charge were dropped as part of his plea. I don't know if Justice Calvin was fired from the Detroit Police Department after this arrest, but I got to tell you, this doesn't sit well with me. None of these plea deals do. But when it comes to a law enforcement officer who's accused of assaulting the mother of his children while in uniform, and you give him nothing more than probation. I find that, I mean, this is an overused word today, but I find that downright offensive. All right, on to today's Armed Citizen story from Pennsylvania, where a reported burglar was injured after he was shot by a homeowner. This happened in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, not far from Pittsburgh. Newcastle police said the burglary happened around 6 o'clock Monday morning. A resident of the home said he heard a noise, went downstairs, and saw somebody in his house who was not supposed to be there. He then fired a shot at the intruder. The break-in suspect shot in the leg was apparently still on scene when police arrived. He was taken to St. Elizabeth's Youngstown's Hospital. But according to Newcastle Police Lieutenant Steve Brooks, no one's in custody at the moment, so maybe he's still in the hospital, and when he gets out, he's going to be taken into custody. And Brooks says that no charges have yet been filed. So we will keep our eyes open for any more details out of Newcastle, Pennsylvania. And finally, today, our good deed of the day, in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. A off-duty police officer in St. Petersburg, Florida, who saved a baby from a dog attack. This, is, again, is just absolutely frightening, but I'm really glad that this officer was there. Dale Johnson works for the St. Petersburg police officer. He was getting ready for work when he said he heard what he described as the most blood-curdling screams coming from a few houses down where he lives in Parrish, Florida. According to the Manatee County Sheriff's Office, there was a woman in her backyard. She had her puppy on a leash when her next-door neighbor's Rottweiler, who was not leashed, runs into her yard and starts attacking the puppy. So the woman's got a puppy at her feet. She's got her two-month-old baby that she's holding on to. She tried to intervene to break up the fight. She managed to get the puppy inside, but then the dog lunged as she was trying to close the door and bit the baby's right leg and held on to the right leg. So Dale Johnson says when he got there, He said, I basically tackled the Rottweiler to the ground, held him in place, began choking him, and used my two fingers to stick them down the nostril of the dog's nose so that he would have to let go in order to breathe. Johnson said it causes an involuntary almost choking or coughing. There's a brief hesitation, which is just enough to allow me to kind of get my hands in place to give a little movement where I can get the leg removed from the mouth. So once that happened, obviously, a mom runs out of the house with the baby, shuts the door so the dog can't get inside. Dale Johnson and his wife ended up consoling her and the baby. Dog's owner was able to get it back to the house. The baby was taken to a hospital. Did have to have stitches, unfortunately. But again, in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing to save a child in need. Dale Johnson, there in Paris, Florida, we thank you for your very, very good deed. Now, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program, as always. I'm looking forward to doing this again tomorrow. Hopefully, well, we won't have any good news to report from New Mexico quite yet. But I think if we get down to a matter of hours and there's still no House Judiciary Committee meeting, I think we can start to feel a little confident that this gun ban bill is going to fail. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Also, I want to take a look at what's going on in Minnesota, where the legislative session is underway and Governor Tim Walz is pushing very hard for a ban on so-called assault weapons. Plus, we'll take a preview of the Supreme Court's conference on Friday, where a number of Second Amendment cases, including hardware bans, are going to be, they're scheduled to be considered. Let's hope they are debated, and let's hope we get some cert grants next week. But we'll talk about all that and more on tomorrow's Bearing Arms Cam and Company. In the meantime, be sure to check out BearingArms.com today. Keeping you up to date there on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. If you like what you see, become a VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum member. Just use the promo code FIGHT, and you can get 60% off your membership. No matter what tier of support you choose, you get some great benefits, and no matter which tier you choose, you'll be supporting the work we're doing, so I want to thank you for that. If you are a VIP Gold or Platinum member, though, one of the cool things you get to do is take part in our weekly live chats with Hot Air's Ed Morrissey. That's coming up today, 1:30 Eastern. We do it every Wednesday, 1:30. Love to see you there next week. But regardless, have a great rest of your hump day Wednesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow with more Bearing Arms Cam and Company. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.